Please don't say we're lit.
Wait, I already did that one.
I did that one.
I did that one yesterday, Rod.
Yesterday.
I've gotten real bad at this podcasting thing in the last 24 hours. I don't have it anymore. I say I need to hang it up. We are back for day two of our SoxCast Anime of the Year show. And we're going to be running down entries 5 through 1 today with, hey, guess what? We got more listener list, and we might even have a nice big old list of honorable mentions for you to wade through as well. So that'll be fun. To my immediate virtual right, I'll ride on his shooting star. It's Reddit.
How's it going? That's a Fooly Cooly reference.
That
and Fooly
is.
Cooly is about dicks.
It is. That's why I made that joke. I wanted to tie all of that together. It's also a Japanese cartoon. Did you know that?
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are those later seasons also Japanese? The ones nobody watched?
Ooh. Oh, God. They did like 3 of those, didn't they?
They kind of kept going.
Like Cartoon Network got the license for that shit and were like, we are going to run this into the ground.
They there's did, at like, least three. There might
like,
be four.
There's like progressive, alternative, and shoegaze.
Oh my God.
They're just going to try and do, you know, every genre. But yeah, like, I don't even know what. Like, what do you even. Like, how many times can you tell a dick story? Come on, Cartoon Network. Fooly Cooly was awesome, but maybe it's time to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time. Rhett, we need to talk about anime again. We're going to do that.
I'm good at that.
I've got anime on a list. I've got my last 5 entries here. I'm feeling pretty good about them.
We got some bangers coming up, I feel.
I think we got bangers. I think it's nonstop. I feel pretty confident that my list is just nonstop bangers from here on.
I think this is where there may be some overlap happening.
Maybe. There might be some overlap. So, my number 5. Let's get things started. So,
let's get to it.
You know what genre I like every once in a while?
Big, Dumb, and Loud.
I mean, I like Big, Dumb, and Loud, but I think we've covered Big, Dumb, and Loud. I've done some Big, Dumb, and Loud, but I also like a good old-fashioned road trip. But what if we approached it like the way you should play SimCity on SNES, where you don't build roads and you build train tracks instead?
Oh, interesting.
My number 5 is Train to the End of the World. This is just a delightful, amazing, fun little trip. It's about a world that's been completely rearranged and warped through the activation of 7G internet. So I guess those 5G people, I guess they got something right. If this anime, we're in 7G, and what happens to the world when we activate 7G? Poor Japan, the entirety of Japan. It basically gets mutated, like the population gets scattered and splintered off into their own little weird isolated societies, and it only takes a couple of years for the world to fall into that kind of chaos. And I think that story basically gets started because the main character, like there's a main character, and like the main crux of the road trip is a character. She knows that like one of their friends was in Ikebukuro when this incident happened, and she's like, we're gonna go find him, let's steal the train. And this is a show where just like, I don't know how you felt about it. I feel like the characters were just an immediate hit. Like, they're immediately charming, their dynamics, they already work. And I think with like the way that the world works, where it's just like, oh, the world's messed up, and like the writers have like infinite creativity to play around with like whatever they want to do with that. And I think they do a pretty good job of showing off like the warped reality, both in snapshots and then like longer 1 or 2 episode you know, little mini stories along the way. I think this is just a fun little story with some fun twists and turns, lots of laughs. Shizuru and Remy being kidnapped by the mini army and being strapped to helicopters, and being spun around on the helicopter blades, and then just being, look, at some point, y'all, we're gonna have to pee, and we're just gonna let it go if you don't let us go. I also liked Mito and the zombie encampment. They played House of the Dead on Sega Saturn, which was really fun. But this show just like this one just tickled me in lots of ways that like I like a good whimsical show. And I think it's got a good little emotional hit at the end where, you know, like you find out it's a story about just people not communicating well. And, you know, that's the source of all the world's problems is that we're just not communicating well. And I think this is one of those really good stories about cute girls not communicating well and having a big adventure over it. Love Train to the End of the World. This one was so fun.
Cool.
What about your number five, Rhett?
Oh, I feel like I'm pulling off this. I don't want to spoil, but I know this is on your list.
Uh-huh.
I know this one's on your list.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about it twice, probably. So when we did Game of the Year, I was basically like, okay, the top five are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of perfect things, there's... I think this is going to come to mind immediately. My number five is Look Back.
Yeah, it's...
And like, I generally don't get that into movies because I prefer series because you get to spend a longer time with those characters.
Yeah.
And this is not only a movie, it's a movie that's under 1 hour.
This is a movie that is so full. Like, it tells an entire damn story that feels...
It could have been a season. It would have been bloated, but...
It feels like a 2 hour movie that you come out of this feeling like you experienced a 2 hour movie. But it's literally 55 minutes. That's counting credits.
It's insane. They yada 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 over the correct parts to just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like the part where, you know, she writes 14 volumes of manga and becomes a huge success.
Yeah, like
they just breeze through that.
They could have made that a season of anime. You know, you could have had ups and downs and little arcs about, oh, I got deadlines. And, you know, they could have done that. But
the high school stuff could have been longer, but they drill into the essential parts of this story. And I guess because of this is like basically a one-to-one recreation of the manga, like that was the creator's original vision.
Yeah, this was a one-shot.
I forget his name right now. This is by the author of Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very funny.
It's Fujimoto, isn't it?
I just wasn't going to want to say the wrong name.
Yeah. I know what that's like. It's fine. But like this, like I
it's
shit.
Maybe we can bring back to it later, but this is just... It's a perfect 1 hour movie.
Yeah.
If the doctor says, hey, do you want to have a good cry?
Whew. Oh my
god. Prescription one dose.
I came out of that.
Take over 1 hour.
I came out of that watch along and it's just like, I'm sorry, y'all. I can't talk right now. I need like 10 minutes to recenter myself here because it's so... I mean, I think it's fine to talk about this now. This movie is on this. It's on my list. But it's and I think that this is also like you've seen it a lot, and I think maybe it's oversold a little bit about this being a movie for creators. But I do think the creators will get something a little extra out of it. But I don't think that it needs to be framed in that like, oh, if you are a creator, like this is how you get the most out of it. No, this is still a very understandable story about what's going on between the two main characters, about how things play out and how their lives end up intermingling with one another and drifting apart in ways that are really like it's understandable. It's very similar to Liz and the Bluebird in a way. I don't think that the relationship dynamic isn't the same because with Listen to Bluebird, it's a toxic relationship that's unintentionally toxic. Whereas what's happening here is just like somebody just doesn't want to let go. One person very clearly needs that other person to be there and wants them to stay there because they, you know, like you are leaving and ripping a hole in my soul to go do your own thing. And the whole resolution to all of that, like the little time thing that they do at the end, where she's kind of like, you know, in her mind rewriting, you know, the world and, the unfortunate reality of all of that. It's just, man, it's this one like hit me a lot in the same way, I Want to Eat Your Pancreas did, another good hey doctors recommend this
oh god
I think it hits a lot of the same notes. I just think that it's more concise. It's very neat. Yeah. It's so freaking honed. Oh, just this isn't one where it's just like, you have to just go watch it again. It's 55 minutes. I could sit here and give you a synopsis, but I think that that just isn't. That's not what you do here.
Because it's so short.
It's so short. Like, I can't sit here and just run you through that movie. I could tell you that it hits like a truck. It is an amazing piece of animation. It is probably one of the best pieces of animation I have ever or will ever see. And it's I know that that is going to be a film that means a lot moving forward. Yeah. I know that I will continue watching this movie and still getting more and more from it. I watched it prior to making my list again, and I was flooded with another set of feelings. It was just like, okay, yeah, that, there's a lot here to marinate in, and I really like this movie for that. It's just an amazing piece of work. There's not enough love in the world for this movie, basically.
Yeah, I watched it once, and then I wasn't sure where it was going to end up on my list, and then I watched it along with the watch-along that you guys did, and I was like, yeah, this is probably got to be on there towards the top.
Yeah, this goes in the all-timers. Yeah, this is an all-time piece of work for me. This will be, like, when I die, this will be one of the best anime I ever saw.
Jeez. I think, like, on top of just, like, it's not just about, like, being a creator, but, like, dealing with feelings of guilt and regret that wasn't really your fault.
Yeah, like it's
not, and like how, like, to move on from that.
It's like it's, hey, life kind of throws things at you sometimes, and it ain't fair. And there's no right or wrong way to deal with that. You know, you have to feel it out in the moment. You know, I don't want to get too personal, but like 2023 was that year for me when I lost somebody very close to me. It was a very much a similar situation of like, oh my God, I don't know how to process this. I don't, you know, and I felt a lot of that here, you know, and so, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great film.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's my number five. There's still four better for me.
Jesus Christ. There are four things better than a movie that I would call one of my favorite pieces of animation ever. So, my ever. God!
I'm like, at what point do I spoil your number one by accident? Anyways.
All right. So, we have another listener list coming up. This one's coming in as an audio list, so we get to chill out for a couple minutes.
Oh, thank God.
This is coming in from
it's been such a long podcast.
Such a slog, right? Finally, we get a break. Psychic Heist is coming in, and he's going to give us the break that we need. Also, dude just stepped on a nail today.
Oh, no.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God, yeah. He stepped on a nail and had to go to the ER and everything. It was a whole deal. So, PH, when you listen to this, we hope you're healing up all right, friend, and that really sucks. We love you a lot, man. And thank you for your list, which we're going to listen to in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hey, Polly. Hey, Rhett. Psychic Heist here, continuing to talk about my favorite media of 2024. I talked a little bit about music, just a little. I talked maybe a little bit more about video games. But now I get to talk about the most important media of them all, and that is anime. These are my top three anime that I enjoyed the most out of this year of 2024. And the anime that's in the third spot will go to fall 2024's big hits, and that is the first season of Dandadan. As I'm talking about this, the 12th and final episode of the season has yet to premiere, but I'm not worried in the slightest of any kind of massive drop-off in quality. The show has started out really strong and has consistently stayed that way. The entertainment value here is 1,000% my bag. Just a really excellent popcorn kind of show with characters who already feel iconic. It's a show that keeps you on your toes, keeps me guessing what wild and zany situations will the leads find themselves in next. The look of the show and the animation is brimming with eye candy most of the time, and it has some truly excellent demon and alien designs. And while, yes, it is funny and beguiling first. It's also got a couple of heavier emotional beats that work for it too. Now, from what I understand, this manga is still being developed, so there's some concern around the show that it may not have the legs to sustain its story, which may be the case, and I will cross that bridge when I get to it, but I don't think that should stop anyone because this first season is just so much damn fun. And for my second spot, I am going to put the first season of Mob Psycho 100.
That's a good one.
This is a show that in its first couple of episodes, I wasn't sure if it was going to be for me. And then a couple of later episodes found myself binging it all very quickly. I got really invested in the plight of the main character, Mob. I don't know if it was my dad vibes that were kicking in, but I just wanted to protect and look out for the little dude. And then you have the character of Reagan, who is above and beyond a scene stealer and has to be one of the best characters in all of anime. Got a little bit of that Saul Goodman con man in him, but deep down has a heart of gold. I love the look of this show. I love the really distinct artistic style that this creator has. That's always going to be a quality that is going to get high marks for me. It's got strong animation, very striking sequences of psychic powers. As someone who has psychic in their name, I definitely approve. Overall, like Dandadan, I think this is just another strong popcorn show, but a popcorn show that also has something on its mind. And yeah, it's about something. It's, you know, it's a tale about self-confidence. And it just hit me as being just right. I'm looking forward to watching other seasons of the show. And I'm hoping that the quality stays strong. And in my number one spot for the best anime I watched this year goes to another show that has alliteration in its title. Dead Dead Demons DDD Destruction.
Oh, yo!
Big shout out goes to Polly for recommending this one to me. This is one of those shows that alters you a little bit after viewing. It's a very layered and complex story that covers a range of genre. I guess ultimately it's a coming of age story for its two main characters at its heart. But it isn't afraid to venture out into all kinds of territory and build around that. It builds it in a way that I feel really encapsulates the time that we live in now. That no other show I can think of recently, anime or otherwise, does it as well as Dead Dead Demons. It really captures growing up while living in this ominous threat of societal collapse in the background. And if there's a common ingredient that I've found with all the anime in my top three, is that they all have really strong characters, and Dead Dead Demons is just exceptional in that regard. I found myself caring so deeply for the show's characters that I began dreading watching more episodes because I didn't want anything bad to happen to the characters I love. Because this show just has moments where it isn't afraid to be brutal and can even be a little hard to watch. And it also has this sociopathic antagonist that is a force of nature and scary as hell.
Yeah.
And all these events really accumulate to an incredible climax that left me breathless and teary-eyed. I watched that episode on my lunch break and was like, oh my God, how am I supposed to go back to work and function after that? DDD is a fantastic work of art, and I'm looking forward to checking out more from its creator soon. And there you have it, my top three anime of the year. Happy holidays, slap a fascist, and keep in touch in the new year. All my love, Psychic Heist.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah, that's good stuff. That's a hell of a list. Man, Mob Psycho getting play in 2024. That feels good because I really liked that show.
You should watch more of it. They did complete it.
They did, didn't they? Yeah. Like, I watched the first season. I should probably watch 2 and 3 now, shouldn't I?
2 and 3 are good.
That's good to hear. All right. So we're going to jump into my number 4 then. I'm going
already.
We're up to number 4 already. So This is a show where literally four episodes in, I found myself saying, oh, shit, I'm going to check out everything this guy's ever done. And I'm also going to thank Psychic Heist for doing most of the heavy lifting for me. My number four is Dead Dead Demons. Destruction.
Oh.
Yeah, this... Man, this show is just a tonal goddamn roller coaster.
It's a lot.
It is simultaneously some of the most fun I've had, like, watching characters interact while also being terrifying. And just completely full of raw and honest emotion. Like, everything that this show feels, it feels big. There's a lot of fun and cool sci-fi stuff, but... I feel like most of that stuff just kind of reads more like a metaphor, and it feels more like a metaphor about growing up and becoming an adult in, like, historic and extraordinary times.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe of this. This show captures perfectly living in unprecedented times.
And like, this show, like, predates things like the pandemic. Like, it, like,
just weird because it so perfectly feels like it.
Yeah, like, the manga started in 2014, but it really feels like it, like, predicted this kind of stuff. And it's hard not to see the parallels and the way these characters, like, grow up. And the way, like, adults are just interacting in this world and the way it is now. This is a show that's literally just, it's all characters for me. Like, this is, they're all so vividly human despite being so outwardly quirky and odd. Both physically and, like, personality wise, they're all just kind of like a little off kilter in a way, but also they just kind of feel weirdly real somehow. There was something about the way Kodode was written. The way that she just kind of talks and approaches things and thinks about things and her decisions just kind of felt like, you are so weird, but it also just seems like I get it. I get why you are the way you are. There's like an interesting honesty, to the way that these characters are written in the way that they go from believable teenagers to believable college students, just literally struggling to keep your shit together. I don't think it needs any introduction, but episode 16, literally it's really high on my list of greatest anime episodes ever. I just really love, like, we kind of touched on this a little when we talked about Seabed, in that there's a moment where a thing happens and it is approached in a way that I've never seen done before. It is approached with a quietness and a vulnerability and an honesty where I think any other work would have taken that moment and made it big and loud, where instead you get this moment of what drives Oran throughout the entire show, and when that reveal finally happens, it's just like, oh, that sticks to my soul, dude. Because it's just brutal honesty and just like that question, you know, just, you know what question she asks. It's just like,
you mean like the last line of episode 16?
Yeah, it's just a beautiful moment.
It's almost like the show should have ended there.
Yeah, like episodes 0 and 18 are just like answers to questions that I don't think matter in the end. I think this show is entirely enjoyable from 1 to 16, and that is the only way I will watch this show from now on. It's just amazingly written piece of work. I cannot wait to explore more of Inio Asano's work in manga form. I know that there's stuff that's been talked about even in our server this year, Goodnight Poon Poon and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm real interested in and giving more of his work a go, because I feel like there's something here that really just really gravitate toward. And I think that's just the honesty in the writing, just is kind of what gets me. So yeah, number four, Dead Dead Demons, Destruction. Also, best ending theme of the year for that for the first half. Good God,
the first op is so good, or
first ending theme is so damn good. I love it when you hear cool, like, really good anime girl singers, you know, also able to break out those fucking death metal roars.
Yeah,
oh, it's so good. All right, Rhett,
Oh, okay. How about we throw it back again?
Okay.
We're throwing it all the way back to 2002 this time.
Oh, my God. Another good year. I think it was one of those years where I started to kind of phase out of anime a little bit, though.
Yeah, I think the early 2000s are kind of a blind spot for me in a lot of ways, because I think that's when they were really starting to switch to digital, and I think a lot of shows from that era are kind of uggo.
Yeah, like 2002 to 2005 anime kind of has a look that's like the digipaint isn't quite dialed in.
Yeah, yet. I'm not even sure that the show is that, but like I think color was kind of out of style. Like a lot of shows in that era are really desaturated.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just tend to not watch a lot from that era. But last year I watched a show called, oh my God, I'm forgetting, Tomorrow's Nadja.
Yeah,
that was my number one of the year, and it's a year where number two was Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Yeah.
Fucking banger year for me. So I thought, oh, I kind of want something else similar from that era where it's a show about a girl, but it's not a magical girl show. My number four is Searching for the Full Moon.
Okay.
Which no one has probably heard of.
I've not heard of this at all.
Is a 52 episode show. It's about a young girl, and like, you know, from episode one, the synopsis, you go, oh, this is gonna make you cry a lot at the end, huh?
Oh no,
because it's about a young girl who wants to be a singer except for the fact that she has throat cancer.
Well good
And she is in episode one, she's greeted by two Shinigami, gods of death. And they come and they say, you have 1 year to live.
I hate it.
But again, this is like a kid's show, so it's maybe not quite as dark as you think it is, but it is weirdly heavy at points, for sure.
I mean, anime is not afraid, like Japanese society is not afraid to show children death at an early age. Like, they really tackle that.
It's not
that
nearly as taboo.
You see that in a lot of anime made for children, where death is something they tackle pretty early on.
Yeah. One of these Shinigami, it looks kind of like the how to draw manga stereotype.
No!
Like, this show has a very interesting look to it. It is so early 2000s in some fun ways. But the Shinigami, they give her the ability to, like, turn 16 years old so that she can actually fulfill her dream of being a singer. So she has a little musical career throughout the show, and then she has to hide her identity as a 12-year-old from everyone. I just like this one a lot, and, like, the last third of it makes me cry. Like,
oh, yeah!
It does make you cry a lot.
I fucking bet!
Yeah. Like, it maybe doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, but, like, it takes some turns. It's a pretty emotional show for a kid's show, and it's just in that sweet spot of like, oh, I didn't think like 50 episode animes for like teenage Japanese girls would be like such a such an aesthetic, but it is,
right?
Because it's like 2 years in a row now where it's like I found the one, and I'm like, ah.
When I think of red aesthetic, like anime for Japanese 10-year-olds is literally just kind of what I hone in on for you.
God. It's like, do I have to watch season one of Pretty Cure now?
I think you do.
Because that's like legally, right in this era too.
Yeah, you're legally obligated now.
At least that one has a punchy girl.
A punchy girl, all right. There's some redeeming qualities here.
So yeah, my number four is Searching for the Full Moon.
Woo! This one sounds kind of heavy. This one almost sounds like... This might be Polybait. It might get me. Because I like a good story where I was like, I know you're going to wreck me by the end. I know it's going to happen. I know it's coming. You know what else is coming? A listener list! We got one coming in from our good pal, Chris L. And Chris says... It's another list. It's just 3-1, baby. Let's go. Number three, Look Back. It's so true that this story is a gut punch for creators of any kind. It puts some of my current struggles into stark relief, the impossible balance to strike between the inescapable need to continuously push forward with creation and the desire to not let opportunities and relationships wither away. prioritize the letter, and the mind rips itself to shreds for failing to create. Prioritize the creation, and you feel trapped as life moves on without you. Not sure what the takeaway is, if there even is one, but I'm grateful for those who stick by their creator loved ones, whether or not they fully understand. Look back is good. Be ready to hurt. Be ready to hurt. I think that's kind of like the only warning I'm giving people now when they watch Look Back. Be ready to hurt.
That's the original title, actually.
Oh.
No, not really.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
You know how a lot of like isekai have super literal titles?
Yeah. be ready to hurt. That would just be this. Be ready for pain. Here comes the pain. Number two. Man, a lot of love here. Dead demons, destruction.
Oh boy.
Man, I think we've got... Man, this may be the sweep. Oh, God. Oh, no. This story, these characters, this animation, it all just cuts straight through you. Not sure what to say besides, wow, it's really good, but I'm going to go curl into a ball and stare at the floor for a week. Hanyanya Fua!
Yes.
Oh, God. Hold on. She's got to be one of the characters of the year, right? She is amazing. I cannot unpair her from Kidode. Like, I think they're just a package deal for me. I love them together so much. And now, for a complete tonal shift. Number one, Dungeon Meshi.
Oh, finally.
It's rare for comedy to hit me this good, but nearly every episode had me gut laughing and giggling for days after. Familiar fantasy staples get a fun spin. The main cast feels distinctly their own and avoids most tired character tropes. They're humanized, elf-sized, halfling-sized, dwarf-sized, but with weird quirks that make them feel like someone you may know in real life. I love these idiots. The dub is phenomenal and is by far my preferred way to watch this one. It gets surprisingly gruesome at times, too. Happy New Year. Happy Year of the Elf, everybody.
Oh, God.
I liked this one. Like, I ended up watching this one with another server.
Interesting.
They would watch it, a new episode every week. And I don't love it, but it was actually entertaining in a lot of ways that kind of like they've got these character dynamics dialed in. Like, they're very much like, this is a very tightly written show. This is also Trigger, and it surprised me that it was Trigger because I think that it's really understated a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's not them flaunting it like cyberpunk.
There's a lot of like really cool subtle things that you can see if you watch the animation. Like, there's still a lot of really good stuff in here if you're looking for it, but this is not them being the flashy Trigger that you know. I know that this one also ends, and I know that they plan on animating it, so
definitely do want to watch the second half where it concludes.
Yeah, I'm
for me. There was just a lot of eating in this show for me.
Yeah, it's a little much, but again,
it is kind of the main thing. But
yeah, it's like the English translation is delicious in dungeon. So that's the point. Like, it's eating a lot of monsters, eating a lot of meat. And it's kind of silly, but yeah, a lot of great characters in that one. Great list, Chris. Thank you so much. All right, Rhett, we're at number three already. Can you believe it?
Oh boy, I think I know your top three, but
my number
the order
three,
I don't.
My number three, we've already talked to death, and I don't really know what more I can say about it. It was literally just Look Back.
Yeah.
Look Back is just it's a gorgeous movie. Like, I don't know what else I can say about it at this point. Like. When your turn comes around and something's already been talked about so much, like you kind of fumble at like what you can say at this point. And this is literally a movie where it's like, all I can tell you, dude, please go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime for freaking free.
Yeah.
Like, just it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. We've talked that movie to death in both episodes so far, I feel so. And so have guests.
Another Rhett. Movie with just like really cute, like understated animation things.
Oh God, yeah. There are so many little intricacies to the animation where if you're just watching, it's a movie that very much merits watching again and just looking at the characters, because they are animated very distinctly like people. So it's very cool.
Yeah. Okay, so my number three.
What you got?
Boy, tell me if you've heard about this one already.
All right.
Number three is Dead Dead Demons. Destruction.
Destruction.
Yeah. This almost made my number two.
Oh,
honestly.
It was high. It was real high for me for a long time.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure what to say about it. And I'm a little glad that other people brought it up first, where it's like, wow, that. What I went into the show 100% blind.
Yeah.
I thought based on the title it was a zombie thing.
I did too. This is literally how it was presented to me. There's like, where's the demons?
The demon is the girl. But the one thing I knew is from you, telling me don't fucking watch episode zero.
Don't do that. Don't do the stupid that I did.
So, like, skipping that, I had even less of an idea what this was and where it was going, because episode one, you know, starts with things being a little more normal.
Yeah.
But like you said, when the manga started in 2014, I don't think they knew it would be such a relevant view at kind of what post-COVID feels like.
Yeah, like, I cannot imagine. Like this is literally the handbook you give to kids and say, yep, what you're feeling right now is very valid.
It's our new normal. Like, the way they will keep talking about, like, August 32nd, that thing that happened 4 years ago.
God!
That everyone is carrying this trauma from, and a lot of people died during.
Yeah!
It's just so accidentally on the nose.
Like, we are all living the same shared trauma from 2020. It's insane how on the nose this is!
Yeah. Yeah, so for me, this was a show where it was a very uncomfortable watch because I just wasn't sure where it was going and are these characters going to be all right?
Right.
I did enjoy the flashback arc. Like, that's when I kind of really latched on.
That was like, okay, so good.
Here's like a little more direct narrative of what's going on. And then with the way that ends, you're just like, wait, what? And then like, are they going to address this? What the fuck is going on? And then it's just like 10 more episodes of impending doom ? As like, it's like a show where the world is falling apart and the main characters are just trying to ignore it and live their fucking lives.
I feel like that's literally me for the next 5 years. It's just like, I'm just gonna ignore everything falling around me. Yeah, like, it literally is these kids that are, they have been traumatized to the point of being desensitized. It's not that the trauma doesn't exist. It's just like your brain can't fit it in. Your brain, just focus on the dumb things. Like, man, I kind of want to sleep with my teacher. Maybe that's an easier thing to think about than the world falling around me.
Forgot about that plot thread. Yeah, this isn't my number two. That's the one part where I was like, come on.
I think that they handle that in a very honest way. I did that did not bother me. I think that the way that like she keeps pursuing but is still unsure if that's really what she wants.
Yeah.
I think that they were really cool. I think they handled that in a really interesting way, honestly.
I think for me it was that the character designs didn't feel like young adults. Like, they felt more like middle schoolers, especially with the flashback part.
Sure, I get that.
So it just felt like there was a larger age gap than I guess there actually was.
There actually is. Yeah, it's probably like a 6 or 7 year age gap, I think.
Anyways. So it's such an interesting show because it's like you've got these sides, the political side of like the government trying to deal with this alien threat, while the main characters are just graduating high school, going to college, having a summer vacation, meeting new people in college. And it's like, it's just such a weird dynamic between these two plot threads that aren't interacting the way you think they would.
Yeah, it is so weird. Like, it is such an off-kilter feeling show. Like, I've never watched something
so deliberate.
Yeah, I've never watched something that felt like this. It just had me feeling away. And I watched it one episode at a time because I wanted that time to digest it. And also, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I was doing like 3-episode shots. And every time it was just like, at the end, just fucking breathe out.
Yep.
And then, of course, episode 16, I think, I mean, it's obviously recency bias, but in terms of, like, impact, probably number one ever.
Yeah, like, it's really...
I just could not... Maybe just even on an animation level of what they were displaying happening, I could not believe this was... Is it a TV show, I guess?
It started as a movie.
Yeah, it started as a movie, so, like, this part was probably in there. Yeah, that's why they got the budget to do that.
Yeah, like, I imagine that the better parts of this series look good as they do because they were part of the big budget. There were two movies, and this was, like, this was made into a TV series, which is why it's a very awkward number of episodes at 18.
Yeah. Yeah, episode 16 is just... It is such a jaw-dropper.
It's the climax of all climaxes. It's so amazingly gorgeous and brilliant in every single instance of the word.
And I do want to stress to people, please don't watch episode zero
don't
first.
Don't watch episode zero first. Don't.
I don't know why they did that.
It really is just like, were you this unconfident about this work? Like, this is just a hit. This is a sure shot. What are you doing?
Yeah, so, like, for people that don't know, the actual timeline of the show is just 1 through 16, 0, 17. Yeah. Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Just don't watch episode
just
zero
why would
first.
You watch the second to last episode first? You wouldn't do that for any other show.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing. Yeah, I did not get that information until I had already done so. And it was like, oh, I feel like I did a bad.
Yeah, that's... I don't know why they presented it
but
that
needless
way.
To say, it's I like, came out the other side. It yeah, that's being good. One of my favorite shows in a very, very long time.
Yeah. So. For me, though, episode 16 was like, I don't know where this ends up because I haven't watched Zero to be fucking spoiled.
Yeah.
Because, like, I thought there was two possibilities and then, oh, it's the third that you didn't even consider. Got him. But also the show should have just ended there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, this is... masterpiece level, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely want to revisit it at some point.
Yeah, this is a show that I will be rewatching and doing so with the context that I am only watching 1 through 16.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, great show. All right.
Wanted to talk about that one again, even though it came up a few times.
Yeah. All right, Rhett, one final listener list, and this one comes in from our favorite Ghosty. Ghosty. Ghosty's got three anime of the year. Actually, no, she's got five.
Cheater.
She cheated, but we let her get away with it.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it this time. I'll actually just allow it anytime. Ghosty's cool. So, anime of the year 24, extra padded edition. It was very hard ranking things this time around. I didn't see a lot of shows this year, but the ones I did were super solid. Number five, Frieren. Beyond Journey's End.
I was thinking, is it going to be weird if I'm the only one who lists the mainstream show?
This is a very welcome thing to watch once a week as it aired. Something to wind down and relax with. It sounds like that's conducive to that since it sounds like it's a lot of self-contained episodes.
Yeah, it is.
Too bad I have to read the manga now. Side pout.
And then too bad the manga went on a hiatus.
And then the manga went on a hiatus. Number four. I think this one's going to be another, good pick. Akudama Drive. Full blast action the whole way through. Swindler is just the best. Get rotated, idiots. All right. So she's got two number twos in lieu of a number three.
Okay.
So... first number two, Train to the End of the World.
Okay.
Gatan. This was so fun and charming. You can tell the animators had a blast drawing it. Surreal little road trip. Unbelievably good. Have some mushrooms. I think I'll pass. Also two, A Place Further Than the Universe. Man, that's a... whoo! That's a heavy fucking hitter there. Outsiders come together, make the strongest team, has some killer scenes. Holy crap, the writing is so strong. But be sure to bring tissues. Oh, God, yeah, those last couple episodes.
Doctor's order.
Whoa, yeah, doctor's order. And number one. Now, this is a shock to me. Wow. This was it's a good one, but this is one I was not expecting to hear about in 2024. Haibane Renmei.
Oh.
I'm not I'm not even sure why I'm putting this in first, but sometimes after you consume a piece of media, you only think worse and worse of it, the more distance you get from it. This was just the opposite. It's just kept steadily climbing as just a wonderful little thing with wonderful characters. Reki's the best. Yeah, she is. It's a slower sort of show, subtle, and not very clear about why things are happening, but it still manages to be very impactful. Packed with vibes. Donut girls! Donut girls! Yeah, I'm taking responsibility for having introduced that one to one ghosty. All right, Rhett, that is the end of Listener List, and we are now down to our...
This is like... the Mexican standoff right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's just kind of like back and
who's
forth.
Shooting first?
Who's shooting first? All right. So I guess we'll go with my number two. Up next, I have a show where literally three episodes in, I found myself saying, I'm not going to watch anything that came before this still because I'm sure it's all boring and bad. But I know that this one's doing something substantial.
Yeah.
My number two is Bang Dream, It's My Go.
Nice.
What can I say about Bang Dream, It's My Go is the biggest surprise for me, I think.
Yeah.
In the anime. I've not had an anime surprise me like this in a really long time. Like, I notoriously do not like girl band shows. K-On! Killed those forever for me. Good job.
Yeah.
Bocchi the Rock pried open my cold, dead heart just enough that I think that that's what let my go kind of slip in. And I'm all the better for it, I think. This is what I'm really glad that I gave in. The reason I did is because it was just like, no, this is like really dark, though. The show's kind of like really heavy in ways that you don't expect. It's weirdly heavy for a show of this type. There's a lot of raw feelings get thrown around. Characters do and say some really hurtful things. And the thing is, and this is something that I think I touched on when I was talking about Flowers during Game of the Year, is that I think that this is a show that's really good at having characters who are being presented as teenagers that are acting like teenagers and not teenagers who are acting like adults. They're just kids that are trying to figure out how to navigate like really big feelings that they're being faced with and they don't get it. You know, there's no manual for that shit. The thing that I really loved and the thing that I actually latched onto when I first saw the name of the show is that it's My Go. And My Go in Japanese literally means lost children. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of the story here. You know, one of the characters at one point says, you know, like we don't have this figured out. So like, let's just be lost together. And it's one of the most heavy moments. It's a show that does kind of start shaping itself more around that girl band thing by the end. But the
way it takes a while to get there.
It takes a while to get there because they're working through the real heavy shit to get there. I could sit here and probably talk for an hour on the characters alone. And this is a show that I am also convinced that you need to watch twice to really get. There was a video essay that I watched recently, called It's My Go, Episode 10 and How the Dominoes Fall. That really digs into these characters in a way and the ways and the things that I had noticed in my watch through where, Taki, she keeps a physical distance between herself, and another character because like, she doesn't feel like she deserves to be around her, but she desperately wants to be because she's kind of in love with her. What do you say about Tamori? Like, character of the year?
Character of the year.
Yeah, like, she's an amazing character that... Like episode 3 is... You're going to hear this a lot. Episode 3 is one of my favorite episodes of anything ever.
Yeah.
It is a first-person... It is an episode that takes place first person from Tomori's perspective, and Tomori is autistic. And I think that it does a very good job of expressing the pain that people go through trying to relate to others or trying to read situations. And she is a character that, like, you know, the default is to just blame herself. You know, it's obviously the things that went wrong with the previous band are obviously mm-hmm. just her fault. You know, and it's not, you know, that everybody else just kind of like nobody's communicating. If you haven't guessed, I really like shows that are about characters being real bad at communicating and then having big cry sessions about it. But this is just, this show is like a controlled 10 car pileup of emotions and feelings being smashed into one another. And it's done with a lot of care, and it's done very deliberately, and there's really good music in it, too.
Yeah.
It just kind of does everything right. I really, 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 really want them to nail this, because they have a second season coming out. It's a sequel season that deals with a character who kind of sparked the whole conflict that occurs mm-hmm. throughout My Go. The things that she does at the start of My Go reverberates throughout the rest of that show. And season two, which is Ave Magica, is about her and this new band that's formed. And I want them to really kind of handle those characters with this same amount of rawness. Like, this is a show where like people are hurt and hurting, and sometimes even just hurting themselves, and in my mind, I just want them to all to have a big emotional moment similar to one that happens in this show. Like, this episode, again, episode 10 is kind of the big climax of this series, even though there's three episodes left, but episode 10 is like that moment where
yeah.
you feel pulled on that stage by the end. And you know, like, I just want everybody to have that big moment where maybe music can be the thing that heals the gaping wounds that a lot of these characters have. Because even by the end of this, characters haven't addressed everything, you know, like the character that kind of like is the shittiest in this show, you know, even though she kind of realigns herself and is, you know, able to kind of make a breakthrough, she's still very much broken in ways mm-hmm. that aren't addressed. So I really want that sequel season to nail it. And I think that Girls Band Cry gets all of the praise that this show should have gotten.
Oh, yeah.
That's my shot Definitely. Over the bow. That's my
sorry.
Shot. Over the, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Girls Band Cry enjoyers, but I think My Go is just, I think what it is doing just is so much more heartfelt and so much more considered. I think the writing is just very smart. I think that the characterizations of these characters and the very, like, there are just so many mm-hmm. little things you catch with animation. Like, fucking anytime Soyo's being like a manipulative little shit, she'll start rubbing her thumbnail. Like, there's all these little tells that happen and you see happening with characters that it's you catch little things like that are just like,
yeah.
Oh my God, this is brilliant. Yeah, I think that this is the biggest surprise for me. Like, and I love this show to pieces. Like, it's so amazing. Just
it's really, so great.
One of the best. So that's my number two.
Hmm.
Rhett.
So this is probably the last surprise left on the list.
All right.
Because I don't think you are going to see this one coming so high.
All right.
My number two is Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night.
Wow. I did not get around to this one and I wanted to, but I have heard nothing but good about it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Basically, I finished this one and very casually was like, hey, Polly, have you watched Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night?
Yeah, I need to watch this
I think
one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. This is
if not for
list.
Another show, it would have been my number one. I definitely feel like I need to rewatch this one at some point, though, mm-hmm. because I don't know. I just... It's not that it went in one ear and out the other, because I obviously liked it a whole lot, but it was like, man, I just want to re-experience it again because I don't remember it as clearly as some of the other stuff on the list. Mm-hmm. But it is, and also it's got a very, very similar setup to Girls Band Cry. So when I watched that, I was just like, oh man, am I watching the same show for a third time? it's like, it's about girls who are musicians, but not all of them are actually musicians on this one. Like, the main girl is actually an artist, but she has like the very same similar kind of infatuation with the solo performer that inspires her. And it's basically like, and it becomes like a group of four girls and they form a, you know, a music unit together. It's, you know, it is that show again, but there's just something about the way they communicate to each other. And like every character in the show inspires another one in like a circle in a way that I thought was really neat. And God, there's just, there's one point in this show where I like stood up and screamed like, fuck yeah, I was rooting for it so hard. I think the last episode is one of those ones that, as an anime original, bites off more than it can chew a bit, where a whole fucking lot gets wrapped up real quickly.
Oh, right, right.
But like, it's weird that I'm not really saying a whole lot about what it is, but I just remember this being like such a, oh my God, anime can be so good moment for me. Whereas like this
I wouldn't just, want you to ruin this, because again, this is a show I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm just like, the only thing that came close to it to pulling it down for me was Destruction. Where it's like, oh, that's also a masterpiece. But, you know, I decided to go with this one. I thought it was extremely good. Yeah. If not for something else, number one easily.
Yeah, like I know Ellie watched this one too, and she was very high on it. And I just did not get her. I think I just couldn't find where to watch it, because I don't think it was streaming on anything that I use at the moment.
Another funny thing, not really to the quality of the show, is like, but the character that they use as the mascot for the band debuted as a VTuber recently.
Are you for real?
And I think the voice actor is the girl who does Megumin.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
So there's a Jelly VTuber now. She probably streams like 1 hour a month.
I mean, that's probably fine, because
that's how the corporate ones go.
I have to imagine Megumin's voice actress is somebody who's very busy.
Yeah. I just thought that was so cool seeing that they were still kind of kicking it around.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love that. That's cute.
Yeah, so big recommend.
Big recommend. All right. Well, before we get to our anime of the year, I bet we've got some honorable mentions we'd like to talk
right, this
about.
Part.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. You did mention that you had a number. So should I go ahead and go over mine first? Or?
Yeah.
All right.
You can go.
All right. So my honorable mentions go the entirety of the Kaguya-sama Love is War series.
Oh, man, that's a big honorable mention, Polly.
I know. Dude, my cuts were so painful, dude.
That's a crazy cut.
Dude,
I didn't expect that.
Dude, it hurt. It hurt. It hurt it so bad, but I love Kaguya-sama Love is War. It's really, really fucking good. One of the best just romantic, it may be the best romantic comedy. Just the concept is so absurd and stupid, but they carry that through three seasons and a movie brilliantly.
Yeah.
Another honorable mention goes to Gushing Over Magical Girls. Loved it a lot.
I realized at some point, once you start bringing out the big guns, I'm like, oh,
it's honorable mention to you. It was on some iterations of the list. It's just, man, like, I think, like, you know, my nine and 10 being action flavored stuff. It's just that just calls to me so much. Like, you're always going to get me with that, with just real good action.
Well, I'm glad I kept it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you kept it, and it was on John's. And like, again, I like that series a lot. I think
it is very much Sox cast approved.
Yeah, I'm very much going to be watching season two, because I'm a piece of trash. So,
oh, right there. Yes, there's going to be more.
Yeah, it's this year, baby. All right. Next is Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Nice.
I like that. It was just a very cute little collection of stories. I'd kind of like to see the movies now to kind of see where more of that goes, because I really did like these characters a lot. The writing was exceptionally sharp. I really love the dialogue writing in this series. Next honorable mention goes to some comfort food, Konosuba Season 3. I really like what they did with this season in both arcs, kind of just showing that these characters kind of just need each other. And they really do. And they really do care about each other. And it's really sweet, despite the fact that they're still just amazing shitheads.
Yes.
Sunny Boy. brilliantly brilliantly obtuse and weird in a lot of good ways. It just missed being on the list because I think maybe it gets a little too far out there and it maybe needed to pull it back in just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I am also going to be that person that goes to bat for Sakura Quest. I know
I haven't watched this one.
It's the boring show. It's the boring adult show about tourism. I get it. I understand, but I love those characters. I think it's just a sweet and cozy and comfy little series. And again, my last one is we're going to the Uma Musume cut that really hurt. Uma Musume Pretty Derby Road to the Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's on YouTube, and it's a really good standalone. If you want to see, like, a really cool horse girl show, and it's got a really good start and finish, and it's got some crazy good races, and a just amazingly potent story, it's real good. Uma Musume Pretty Derby Road to the Top is free on YouTube. I know that they took it off for a while because it had a theatrical run, but it is back up there the last time I checked.
Cool.
So, yeah, Uma Musume Pretty Derby Road to the Top is my last honorable mention.
It's just this four-episode fucking shot of adrenaline.
Yeah, it is a shot of adrenaline with an amazing story about a girl that's just dealing with a lot, but running through it, baby!
Run through it.
All right, what are your honorable mentions, Rhett?
Okay, so I have three of them, basically 11, 12, and 13. I'm not going to bother numbering them, though, but first up is Suzume. This is a Shinkai movie.
Oh, this is Makoto Shinkai, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I think he's become more successful since, what was the huge one?
5 centimeters per second?
No, the huge one was...
Your Name?
Your Name, yeah. His movies since then have actually, like, had plots.
Oh.
I think the stuff before then was...
Here, we're telling the same love story.
Very navel-gazy nostalgia. I think Suzume is just a good, very solid, like, kind of Ghibli-esque action-adventure movie.
Oh.
With a female protagonist going on a kind of a road trip thing as well.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a really good time watching this one.
Okay.
It also goes surprisingly big. Like, there's dragons by the end.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Next honorable mention is, hey, I forgot this was actually going to happen in a way. There's a show from 1969.
Hey!
Called Dororo. It's Tezuka. It's one of the first anime ever.
Yep.
I watched the remake in 2019, 50 fucking years later.
50 years later. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the remake is really great. I'm not familiar with the original.
Uh-huh.
It is about a boy whose dad made a deal with, like, devils and demons to sacrifice his son. So the son is just born with, like, literally nothing.
Oh, good.
Like, no eyes, no skin, no limbs. Like, every part of him was taken by a demon.
Well, that's saved on animation, I'll tell you that.
And somehow he survives, he gets prosthetic limbs, and then he is on a journey to kill those demons and get his body back.
Why didn't he kill his dad?
Well, they get to that, don't worry.
Okay, because, like, you know what, man? Like, yeah, I'm probably going to be pissed at the demons, but I'm probably also going to kill my dad.
he is on a quest of revenge, and it is very much like characters trying to tell him that he's going too far while he's, like, screaming, but it's my body, give it back.
Yeah!
Like, this one's pretty powerful.
Hell yeah. It's like that moment in Higurashi and screaming, give me my name back!
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of funny, like, if you think about it, it's a Metroidvania anime. Because every time he kills a demon,
a body part back.
He literally gets a body part back. And my number 11, and this was my tough cut. I finally watched it after all these years, and then it didn't make the list. My number 11 is Monster.
Oh, wow. That's a big one. That's a big cut.
It's a really great show, but they got cut for fucking gushing over Magical Girls.
Nah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Gushing over Magical Girls deserves this recognition. You are not going to find an argument here.
It's such an apples and oranges thing where it's like, I don't fucking know, man. I think Monster maybe ran a little long by the end, where by the second half, or maybe even just the last third, like, it was like, okay, I feel like we're kind of going in circles here.
Yeah.
But, like, parts of it are definitely excellent. It was funny when John told me like where he dropped it, and I'm like, that is right before the best part. And even I, like, because I originally watched it like 10 years ago and dropped it like around episode 20, and then I thought it got really good right after that. And also, I had theories, big brain theories about this one, where it's like, okay, here's what's really happening, and like convoluted web of like deception and stuff, where it's like, I thought there was a lot more going on here. There's going to be a huge twist reveal at the end, and then there was literally nothing. It plays it totally straight.
Yeah.
So I was a little let down, but it's like, oh, there. Okay. I thought like three characters were the same person, but I guess not.
Oof.
Okay. Oof. It's really good, though. I understand why it was so appreciated in its day.
Yeah.
That they did 74 episodes in an adaptation in one go. Like, that just doesn't fucking happen anymore.
No, you're not getting a season that long anymore. No, hell no.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my honorable mentions.
That's honorable mentions? All right. It is time. Anime of the year. Our final say on what the best stuff was on the year, and I guess it's time for me to do it, and I don't think mine's going to be all that shocking.
I think, yeah.
Sometimes it's like, it's a matter of the experience you had while watching a show. Sometimes it's the show itself. Sometimes it's a case of it just being both, because both were amazing. My show of the year is Odd Taxi. Mm-hmm. Surprising nobody! This was, we ended up watching this one as part of a project, because I like doing things where I throw people into the deep end of things that they're not familiar with. So I took my friend Toad and was like, hey, you're going to watch anime. Pick one. And he picked Odd Taxi. And I was going to watch Odd Taxi anyway, because if he didn't pick it, then we were just going to watch it with John during our little, you know, get-togethers, and just watch a couple episodes every weekend or something. So one way or another, this show was going to get watched. But I think the thing about it that made Odd Taxi amazing is that not only is it just an amazing mystery, it's layered, it's deep, it's rich, it has characters that are just absolutely amazing. The writing is so incredibly sharp and incisive. Not a line of dialogue is wasted. Not a scene is wasted. The thing that made this for me was being able to kind of like watch a few episodes and then just start getting the brain mill going about like, and start tearing it down. It's like, well, okay, you're having that moment of, I'm tearing this story down in real time. I'm making my theories. I'm saying the wildest, craziest shit that's going to happen. And then getting completely subverted in the best ways possible, or getting it right, but in a different way. Odd Taxi is just a fantastic piece of neo-noir that it's another show where it's like, dude, just go watch it. Like the premise is amazing. It's just like, and like the art is gorgeous at all times, and it's just like the character designs are so fun. It's like they're animals. It's awesome.
They're so cool looking. No other show looks like this, straight up.
There is no show that looks like Odd Taxi.
It's not anime.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is like this is just a very cool visual style, and just like, and that goes to the setting in the city as well. Like, you feel like it's a show that's very good at making you feel like you're in it. Like, this is like the best of Scorsese and like the Coen brothers in terms of storytelling, cinematography. Like, this show just has amazing cinematography at times too. Like, there are moments where it does things with its animation that are incredible. Like, there's a scene later on where something falls into the river, and then they show like every character contextualized something about them falling into a thing of liquid. Mm-hmm. And they do this across like 10 shots of like while this is happening. And it's one of the most brilliant pieces of animation I've ever seen. It's just like, this is so amazingly stupid. Why does this work? But yeah, it's just one of the best mysteries I've experienced in anime. I think
plus the whole speculation podcast, doing it a few episodes at a time, and just mulling over it, every detail.
Yeah, like, I was there, dude. Like, if you listen to those podcast episodes, which, again, that was a big part of why Odd Taxi is here, is like being able to do that podcast, having it like, it's very much the same way that I, when I, the Somnium Files, won my game of the year, is because my stream was attached to that, and I shared that experience with everybody, the same way that I shared this podcast with Toad when we were going back and forth. I'm like, well, here's what I think, and it's just like watching every episode and tearing every little detail and combing over every little thing, latching on to little things and holding on to them, or just like, all right, here's my final big theory, and then just like building up to all of that, and then like the show just being as good as it is in the end. You know, like, it's not just about that. It's about, like, the show is just actually this stupidly good. You don't have to fucking have a podcast experience. You don't have to have that experience of sitting around trying to puzzle it out with people for this show to hit. Mm-hmm. It's just this good. Just straight up, absolutely deserves to be Anime of the Year. There was no doubt in my mind that this was number one. Odd Taxi, fantastic piece of work.
Yeah.
One of my favorite podcasting projects ever. Really good. Yeah. Odd Taxi. Go watch
it. I rewatched the show while you're doing the podcast, and the show definitely is that good.
Yeah.
It was so fun, kind of, because I'd seen it before, like knowing which predictions you were making that were wrong, which were right, and like how early some things you called correctly. Like, that was a ton of fun.
Yeah. It was real fun kind of watching all that come together at the end, and then talking to people and like other people that have watched it and were listening along. They're like, yeah, it was really cool, like how you latched on to this and didn't let go and were actually right, but it was but they still twisted it somehow. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. It's a show that will subvert your expectations, and even when it does, you will feel good about it because it's so cool about the way it does it.
Excellent.
All right, Rhett, wrap us up. What is your anime of the year?
Are you ready for a shocker? Are you ready to have no idea what my number one is?
I'm John. I don't pay attention to what anybody does or listens to or talks about over the years. No.
I thought about doing this as a franchise vote, but it was very obvious that my number one is Bang Dream My Go.
Yeah.
But I liked this one enough to go back and watch every previous season of Bang Dream to come out the other end and say, yeah, you can just watch My Go.
You can just watch My Go.
I did really like seasons 2 and 3, as well as one of the OVAs that they did afterwards. Mm-hmm. I think you can see seeds of like what they were building towards in terms of a stronger narrative. Mm-hmm. Especially season 3 has a kind of a similar arc where, hey, one of the bands almost breaks up.
Yeah.
I just like when they go at each other's throats. That's the most fun part for me.
It really is. Like a lot of people, like in My Go, like I think a lot of people don't like a specific character because you are a shithead. But I love her because she's a shithead.
Yeah. Yeah, My Go is just, it's so weird because I came into it with such low expectations because it was just like, oh, this is kind of coming recommended. But I didn't have anyone in my ear saying, no, this is a masterpiece, baby. You got to watch this.
I think me and you may have seen the same damn review on Twitter.
I don't know.
Because I remember you quoting a review, and I had read that review before. It was about I think you did it in your media thread. To sum up your own thoughts, you were just like, this person said it better. And I was like, I've seen that review before. It was like, I was wondering if like we both kind of read that same review and then watched it, or if it was
no, because my first impression from it was from Reset Era. Like, everyone was championing episode 10 as anime as episode of the year.
I was just like,
I don't even know what this show is. I'm not even going to read these posts saying why episode 10 is so good. I'm just going to watch the show.
I saw Bang Dream and I was like, I'm never going to watch that.
I kind of came in with low expectations. Then I was on episode 3 and I'm like, wait,
episode three was the moment that stopped me in my tracks. And I literally watched it twice in a row because I was like, what did you just do?
Nice.
I was that stunned by how they had kind of like, Because it starts off very innocuous. It's just very like, oh, mm-hmm. hey, Genki girl wants to start a band, and she meets a, you know, quirky girl who's very obviously has trouble communicating, and she's going to drag her along and open her yeah. heart. And you think that it's going to be that. And then you get to episode three, and it's just like this very in-depth character thing. It's like, oh, shit. Like, Odd Taxi does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where they have a moment where it's like, okay, we're going to stop the story and we're going to show you this character thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God! And again, one of the best episodes of the series.
Yeah. Yeah. Maigo takes like this familiar setup, especially by framing Anon as the main character at the start.
Yeah.
The pink-haired Genki girl.
Yeah.
Surely there's nothing below the surface there.
Nah.
Yeah. And then it takes these kind of standard archetypes and then twists them in very good ways.
It doesn't even twist them. It just adds human elements.
It develops them and makes them into actual human characters.
Yeah, like they're just like, yeah, they start as these archetypes that you just kind of look at and you can eye roll, but then it's like, no, you are a person and you are hurting. Come here, baby. Let me hug you.
I mean, I got totally blindsided by a certain character's actions around episode 8. They're like, oh, oh, okay. Like you can see it's one of those things that's so clear in hindsight.
Oh, but yeah, but it's
the first time I was like totally just buying into it.
Right, I did too though. That's the thing. Is that it's so good. If you're not going and looking for it, like it's gonna bamboozle you.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that hits the show hits for me is that I really just actually genuinely like the music.
Yeah, the music's really good. I don't like this kind of music most of the time.
I think this one, Tomori, is just such a good singer, or whoever's God. Actually, you know, yeah. doing it IRL.
Yeah.
Like Maigo will just come up on Spotify now, and I'm like, hell yeah, turn
yeah,
that
let's
shit
go.
Up.
Turn it up.
Like, I genuinely like the band, and especially the song they use in episode 10 is just so fucking perfect for that moment. It is, that's like the moment for me.
Oh,
of,
God. Yeah.
I mean, there's episode 16 of Da-da-da,
yeah.
and then there's episode 10 of this.
Yeah.
The way the song
I'm on stage like, I'm on stage crying with him, baby.
Yeah. The one flaw in this show is that it is a 12 episode show with episode 0 of a sequel attached at the end.
Yeah, and I understand why they had to do that.
And basically
I think,
we're very close. Yeah. I think
it's tomorrow.
Previews are out. Oh my God.
It's
tomorrow.
It starts January 2nd.
Fuck. This is the first time where I'm like,
I kind of gotta watch this.
I don't watch shows as they're airing.
Yeah.
I'm watching
Ave
Mujica
yeah.
as it airs.
Yep.
I have to know.
Yep.
I have to not get spoiled. Not that anyone on my timeline will be talking about it.
No. We are literally the only ones because, you know, it's not Girls Band Cry.
But yeah, I'm glad they're making more. I'm excited and terrifying for a second season because I still feel that they could fuck it up.
I want them to nail it, dude. I this is one of those like, man, it's my anime want of all the please don't screw this up. You have the characters in place. These characters are right there. You can already see the things that are wrong with them.
It's also just that as a band, I don't think I like them as much musically.
I mean, that may change. Because they kind of remind me a lot of Band Maid, and I like Band Maid. So
okay.
I think that they could like, I think I like my girl much better. I like what they're doing, you know, with their kind of like, it's like a weird
raw emotions on stage,
yeah,
just singing her heart out.
Just belting in ways that just like, yeah, she's literally screaming the song in her heart.
I'm remembering certain lines from the show and just how much it ripped my soul out.
Oh,
like,
God.
I watched this last January.
And it still hits.
And it just, there was no touching it for the entire year.
Yeah.
As like, this is my number one. There's nothing.
Nothing can hit this. Yeah. Like Tamori's relations about like not feeling human and not being able to cry. Ugh. God, man, I'm sitting here like tearing up just talking about it.
She's so good.
Yeah. Go watch It's My Go. It's so fucking good.
Yeah. So that's my anime of the year.
That is anime of the year. Rhett, we've done it.
We did it.
All right. So I guess we will give one last countdown from 10 to 1 here, and then we will get ourselves out of here. My number 10 Cyberpunk Edge Runners. Number 9 is Akudama Drive. And number 8 is Uma Musume Pretty Derby Season 2. My number 7 is Violet Evergarden. My number 6 is Liz and the Bluebird. My number 5 is Train to the End of the World. My number 4 is Dead Dead Demons Destruction. My number 3 is Look Back. My number 2 is Bang Dream It's My Go. My number 1 is Odd Taxi. Rhett!
Number 10, Gushing Over Magical Girls.
Yeah, better number than nine, Monster.
Yes. Number 9, Sound Euphonium Season 3. Number 8, Jujutsu Kaisen Full Series. Number 7, Frieren. Number 8, 6, Rainbow. Number 5, Look Back. Number 4, Searching for the Full Moon. Number 3, Dead Dead Demons, Destruction. Number 2, Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. And number 1, Bang Dream, It's My Go! Exclamation point.
There's 5 exclamation marks because...
For a reason!
Oh, God. Go watch Bang Dream, It's My Go. Fuck!
Anyway. You can say that safely because nobody did.
Yeah.
We're talking to you.
But after this show, man... Watch them timelines. I want to see them timelines lighten up with some cute...
Everyone goes and watches Girls Can Cry again.
That's what'll happen. That's literally what happened. Every time I recommended somebody to watch My Go, they went and fucking watched Girls Band Cry instead. It pissed me off. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Maybe next time, this time next year, we'll be back having watched enough anime to fill out another list. I have no way to end this show, but Oyasumi Nasai!
Escalation!